Hi, and welcome to DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Len Sipes. Our program today deals with educational programs for offenders and their families. So it's a really interesting conversation between the three participants at our microphones today before the program, talking about the value of these sort of programs. It's an effort to reach out not only to offenders, but their family as well, to provide a holistic approach to the issue of education, whether that is purely an educational program and sort of teaching a person how to read, an eighth grade certificate, a GED, or as well as vocational programs. At our microphones today is Christine Keels. Christine is the executive assistant for the Vocational Opportunities Education and Employment Program. We call it VOTE. Latresa Early, and Latresa is a learning lab specialist, and Bonnie Andrews is a victim services program manager. And to Christine and Latresa and to Bonnie, welcome to DC Public Safety.
Thank you.
Okay, the first questions, needless to say, are going to go to Christine Keels. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Christine has been involved in the criminal justice system. She and I came from the Maryland system before coming over to work for the federal government. Christine has been involved in these sort of endeavors for a long time. She is one smart son of a gun who really knows the subject well. And I'm honored to finally have Christine Keels at our microphones. Christine, give me an overview of today's program, Educational Programs for Offenders and Their Families. What's that all about?
Well, today we are proud to be able to have the opportunity to come and share this information about a very important program in VOTE called the Adult Family Literacy Program. And the goal of that program is to bring together ex-offenders and their families in a holistic education process. So we focus on adult basic education and GED for the adult ex-offender. And then we focus on tutorial services for the children of the ex-offender, while also incorporating parenting skills and pro-social cultural excursion types of activities.
Okay, so give that all in a layman's friendly point of view. So we're helping people coming out of the prison system, people who are on probation, learn how to read, learn how to write, getting their GED, and we're involving their families in these endeavors as well.
It's family reintegration and it's community preservation.
Okay, so why families? I mean, there is a lot of controversy all over the United States about programs for ex-offenders. We're here to state that we believe, and I think our statistics show, that these programs, a programmatic approach. I mean, we supervise offenders very, very, very strongly. There's a lot of accountability here at CSOSA. We have some of the lowest caseloads in the country, some of the highest levels of contact in the country. We have a ton of community contact with individual offenders. We drug test the dickens out of them. But at the same time, we state that we believe that it's just not an issue of holding them accountable, just not an issue of watching them. You got to have programs for the mental health offenders. Does anybody really doubt that a person coming out of prison who has a mental health problem, and the research now indicates that over 50% of offenders are claiming mental health problems coming out of the correctional setting. Does anybody really believe a person with schizophrenia is not going to go out and re-victimize somebody without treatment? So this whole concept of programs, this whole concept of doing other things besides watching them, besides holding them accountable, is important not only to us, but it's important to public safety, correct?
That's correct. As stated, in the criminal justice system, there has been a movement toward looking at ways to reintegrate, reenter is the popular term now, ex-offenders into their communities and their families. As you know, CSOSA is not always going to be around in that person's life. Eventually, they will finish supervision. And so we need to be able to bridge that gap so that when they leave our custody and care, they have reintegrated back into their community and they have restored their relationships with their family. We hope to be able to find a comfort zone in the family and the community, which will help them to be able to find the right path.
And that comfort zone involves your particular program. You have learning labs throughout the city of Washington, D.C., and what you do is to involve that individual from an educational point of view and from a vocational point of view. The thing that really impresses me about your operation is that you assess the dickens out of them. You sit down and do a complete workup so you know who that person is and where that person is educationally and vocationally, so you can design a program to meet his or her specific needs, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. And in doing that assessment, we're focusing on education and employment, but of course we learn about other variables, which might include housing, it may include health care issues, or it may include victimization. which is one of the important reasons why we've connected our victim services program to our vocational opportunity training, education, and employment system.
Okay, well, that's the perfect segue to go over to Bonnie Andrews. And Latresa, I'm going to get to you in a second. But Bonnie, you're the victim services program manager for us. We are the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. We are the federal agency. We're the parole and probation authority, mm-hmm. if you will, for the District of Columbia. Now, you are our victims services program manager. You're also, I must say, before we go on, what would you do? One employee of the year?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're you're not only the victims services program manager, you are employee of the year. And what do you do? Now, you do two things. You help individuals outside of our system who have been victimized by mm-hmm. the offenders who we supervise, but you're also providing victim services to the offenders that we supervise, correct?
That's correct.
That's an interesting juxtaposition mm-hmm. on victim services.
Well, some of the offenders that we supervise at CSOSA, they have been victimized maybe prior to coming on probation or prior to being incarcerated.
But explain to me victimization, because the research will say that the great majority of them have been victims of crime themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But are we talking about them being victims of crime, or are we talking about childhood abuse and neglect when they grew up?
Well, that's a crime in itself.
Of course. Being right. But I mean, there's a difference between being robbed mm-hmm. and not getting the proper parenting skills or not being properly parented mm-hmm. when they were 8 years old.
Well, if a person is identified to our program as being a victim of crime, regardless of whether they are an offender or the victim of the offender, they are processed in the same manner. We do a complete needs assessment and try to determine what type of needs will help them with the healing process of being mm-hmm. a victim of crime. The crime may be being a childhood victim of abuse, neglect, to being an adult victim of domestic violence or armed robbery, carjacking, the survivor of a homicide, or seeing one of their loved ones killed in front of them. So the crime, those types of crimes may vary from person to person. And it really doesn't matter what type of crime that person has experienced. We will service that person regardless of whether they're an offender or...
I had a conversation with another employee of the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency describing high-risk drug offenders. Mm-hmm. And what she said to me was that these individuals are battled, scarred veterans. They've seen so many of their friends victimized. They've seen mm-hmm. so many of their friends injured, knifed, shot at, shot, mm-hmm. murdered. That in many cases, the people caught up in what we call the game or caught up in criminality or caught up in the lifestyle come away from that experience almost like a victim of a war.
Mm-hmm. Like PTSD?
Yeah.
That's what you're referring to.
Let's explain what PTSD is, right? I'm not quite sure I said that correctly. Mm-hmm. Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So this whole issue of being involved in the lifestyle takes a toll, regardless of where they came from individually as children.
From our perspective, anytime a person has had a life-altering or has been involved in a life-altering situation, whether they witnessed a crime or they have been directly involved in a crime or the victim of a crime, it's going to change their life drastically. Mm. The difference between myself and someone else that experiences the same crime will be our skills, our coping skills, and our ability to get through that crime, or maybe our support systems that we wrap ourselves or that's wrapped around us.
As children, and I do want to get in this briefly, then I want to get back to the reason why we're here today. But part of this whole discussion on programs, not only educational and vocational programs, but programs in general, is trying to, I guess, get across to the public, and in many ways a very skeptical public, because a lot of people out there are saying, whoa, wait a minute. You know, we can't afford programs for our schools. Mm-hmm. Money should be going towards our kids. And the people who listen to my podcast hear this refrain a lot. Money should be going to the elderly. Money shouldn't be going to, quote-unquote, criminals. The other part, but I'm trying to make a
case
here.
But we can't afford not to.
Well, why is that?
Either we put the money in to that to these offenders now, or we'll do it later. Either way, we are going to have to find a way to rehabilitate offenders in order to keep our community safe.
Right. Okay.
So we can do it up front, or
if
we
they
can
don't
do
get
it,
the programs they need, they're going to go out and do these crimes again.
More than likely.
Okay.
People have to survive.
But getting again in terms of this victimization issue and how it pertains to educational and vocational programs, the research I've read, and probably the great majority of the offenders that I've talked to, especially the female offenders, tell me that they basically raise themselves, and they come from a strong background of childhood abuse and neglect. Women offenders have higher rates of substance abuse. Women offenders have astoundingly higher rates of sexual violence directed towards them as children, not necessarily by family members, but it's not unusual for it to be by family members. The individuals who we deal with are complex and multifaceted, and they need this multifaceted help that we're talking about today. And I'm not making excuses for them, for the public who are listening to this program. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to prison for 20 years because you've committed a series of armed robberies. But I'm simply stating what I believe is true, that they come from extraordinary backgrounds.
A lot of the offenders that we see in our parenting group have come from either single family homes or homes that were inundated with drug use or alcoholism. They've been victims of childhood some type of childhood crimes,
right,
whether it's sex abuse or physical abuse, neglect, and they have virtually, as you said, have raised themselves.
And what I always refer to as self-raised issues, I this is my own personal opinion. You all can feel free to agree or disagree with me all you like, but in many offenders, there is that sense of anger. There's that deep-seated sense of anger, and I think most of that deep-seated sense of anger comes from raising themselves.
Well, let me share just a real quick one story that I have. One offender that was in a recent group of mine, this person was only, I think, maybe in his early 20s, and his father had been incarcerated for most of his childhood. And every time his father would go in and out of prison, his mother would become very sick, as he described her being sick. But when he went on to describe her illness, she was actually depressed, and she wouldn't get out of bed for weeks and months at a time. So other family members, the extended family, had to come in and provide these children, I think it was four or five children, with resources like food, money, things of that nature. Well, after a while, the extended family got tired of doing this. You know, the first time the father went in, the second time it was okay. But by the third time, so this very young boy, he may have been 12 at the time when he started selling drugs, because he felt it, he felt it was his responsibility to take care of his family.
Right.
So at 12 years old, you had this child out on the street selling drugs, trying to make money to buy food, keep the lights on, keep the water on. Now, this is not just one story. I hear this story over and over
again. So have I, consistently.
In our group. So,
and again, it gets us back to this issue of programs, and we're going to go to Latresa early. And Latresa, have I been pronouncing your name correctly? I'm not quite sure if I have or not. Latresa. We go back to this whole issue of programs, Latresa, from the standpoint that, you know, people can say, I don't want to give a dime to criminals. Throw it to the, give it to the elderly, give it to the school kids, give it to whoever. But without these programs, without your programs in particular, the educational and vocational programs, along with the drug treatment that we do, along with anger management that we do, and along with lots of other programs that we offer, as well as extraordinarily intense supervision and drug testing, these individuals are not going to do well, correct? They're not going to do well under supervision without your programs.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. Now, give me a sense of your program. What you do is that you bring individuals in for educational and vocational assessment and assistance. And at the same time, we on a Saturday, we provide educational services to the entire family, correct?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And why do we do that?
We want to create a holistic approach as far as the family is concerned. We want to be able to allow the family to participate in some of the activities that the children are doing. We want to bring them together by working with them as far as the educational levels. We want to increase the math and the reading levels for the students, as well as increasing those levels for the parents as well.
Okay. So the parents and the two kids and the mom, because 85% of our offenders are male. So I'm not being stereotypical. I'm simply saying that 85% are male. So does the mom come as well?
Yes. Okay. Anyone is invited to come.
So the father, the mother, and the two kids.
Yes.
Come in on a Saturday and do what? And how long did they spend there?
Well, they could, it truly depends. They could spend up to 2 hours. They could spend up to a half a day. What we try to do is work with them in the beginning on academics. Okay. So we work with them with reading and math and trying to increase their educational levels, while our community-based partners work with the children, doing the exact same thing, to tutoring the children as far as increasing their reading and reading and math levels.
Are we seeing this obviously as not an individual offender, but we're seeing this as a family?
Yes, we are.
Okay. And that is, in my mind, so incredibly important, the research in terms of the kids getting involved in criminal activity when a parent is incarcerated is considerable. I've seen ungodly percentage increases of the kids being involved in criminal activity when a parent goes to prison. And there's a lot of acting out on the part of both, excuse me, girls and boys, because of the anger that they express that the parent is not in the house. So this brings the entire family together, not just from the standpoint, I'm guessing, from an educational point of view. It's as if we are saying, it's as if you are saying that this is a family problem and we have to solve this problem as a family.
Exactly. We not only concentrate on the academics part, we concentrate on parenting, we do mentoring, and then we bring the parents and the children together at the end.
Okay, mentoring meaning who? Who mentors them?
Our community-based organization.
Okay. Is that part of our faith-based operation?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Who's working with the kids?
Concerned Black Men.
Okay, Concerned Black Men is working with the kids. And what did they do?
Well, they provide programs. What they do is, I know that they recently had a Daddy Day Out program where the fathers and the children went to the Blacks and Wax Museum and kind of gave the mother a break, you know, if the mother is a primary caretaker.
Right.
And they sponsored those free of charge.
Okay.
They also provide counseling for the family as a whole. And they do other activities even in the city. I'm going to Anacostia Park, you know, just a day for the family.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is pretty neat, I would say, because it's just not us. It's just not the federal government, if you will, doing this. But we have faith-based mentors doing this on a volunteer basis. We have Concerned Black Men of D.C. who are doing this on a volunteer basis. Anybody else involved in it?
Covenant Baptist Church.
Covenant Baptist Church is where it's being held.
They do Saturday, and they do the Saturday mentoring.
Okay, so they do the Saturday mentoring. So it's faith-based from two parts, the fact that it's at Covenant, the fact that we have our faith-based mentors, Concerned Black Men of D.C., they're doing it. Anybody else? Christine Keels.
Of course, we have a focus with the school system in Southeast Washington. We've met with the principals over a year ago and received buy-in from the principals that they would work with the offenders and with the children. And that's a real big plus for us to know that the D.C. school system is committed to supporting the project.
And if we're talking about educational endeavors, I would imagine that D.C. schools would have to be involved.
Of course.
Do we use their curriculum, by the way?
No, at this time we're not using their curriculum, but we're using a curriculum that Covenant Baptist Church has purchased and they're using. But it complements.
I didn't know that. So Covenant Baptist Church purchased a curriculum and they're using the curriculum.
Yes.
That's quite a commitment.
And the children are integrated in with the general population. Anyone can walk into Covenant Baptist Church and be a part of this Saturday school program.
Okay, so is a Saturday school program for our offenders or is it just our offenders participating?
It's our offenders participating.
Okay, so this is an existing program on the part of Covenant.
Exactly. As I said earlier, we want our offenders, when they walk away from CSOSA, to have some programs in the community that they're already familiar with and begin to network and begin to use the resources that are available in the community.
Tell me about some of the reactions on the part of offenders, because, you know, it's a double-edged sword whenever we talk about offenders. Yeah, they've committed lots of crimes. They have, in many cases, considerable criminal histories. They have considerable psychological issues for all the different reasons that we talked about. So part of me says, okay, we have to be honest about that and talk about that, because that's the heart and soul of the problem we're dealing with. And part of me has to say, again, nobody's disagreeing that individuals who do crimes do time. Nobody's disagreeing with punishment. Nobody's disagreeing with putting them in the prison system if necessary. But in the same time, many offenders, when they come out, do come to that point in their lives where they say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, especially the heroin addicts you and I knew about in Baltimore.
That's correct.
That's the term that they use all the time.
That's right.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they want to change.
That's right.
And they're anxious to change. I'm guessing that the offenders that you're dealing with in many cases are anxious to change. If they're willing to bring their kids, if they're willing to bring their spouse, my guess is, and if they're willing to approach this problem as a family, my guess is that these particular offenders are ready for change.
That's correct. Let me first talk about an environmental change. Coming to Covenant Baptist Church gives them an opportunity to see a community-based program that's committed to working with them. Covenant Baptist Church is a unique church in the district because their entire sanctuary is the stained glass decor is all around African-American history. So those persons who are part of our program get a chance to get in touch with their African-American culture while being in the church. Everyone in the church staff is very supportive. The parenting class that Ms. Andrews offers is actually held in one of the youth rooms. So what it does is begin to help the offender expand their mind to see that here's a church that offers a youth program.
Mm-hmm.
So my teenage child has a place to go rather than hanging out on the street.
Okay.
So an environmental change. Then the second thing is to see governmental workers in a different format, seeing government workers coming out at night, teaching a parenting class, sharing some of their personal experiences.
Are we talking about your staff?
I'm talking about my staff, Buddy Andrews.
They don't have to.
The Employee of the Year. Yes.
They don't have to come out at night, do they?
That's right. In fact, this is not
people
even...
People need to understand this, that's done on a volunteer basis.
That's one of the reasons why she's Employee of the Year.
That's right.
Is that she made this commitment to see this program get started and is really committed to using her social work background.
There we go.
To ensure that we have the best therapeutic care.
There we go.
And also, I think when we move beyond environment, and we look at support group, we see government officials in a different light. There's also the important thing of seeing Concerned Black Men, a community program that's committed to helping to build families. I don't want us to brush over this cultural excursion piece, because it's important to understand that for families who have grown up perhaps in a very tight community where there weren't opportunities to be able to leave their particular community, to have a program that's willing to invest money that they have received as a nonprofit to be able to expand horizons is very important. To know that one can live beyond Southeast D.C. or Northwest D.C., that there's a greater world out there. So what it does is helps the family, particularly the parents, begin to vision what they want their children to do in the future.
Now, people listening to this beyond the District of Columbia are going to wonder what the heck you're talking about. A different world out there. This is the nation's capital. This is the world's capital. Are you suggesting that there are two DCs?
No. What I'm suggesting is that perhaps a child in the district may not realize that there are cornfields out in Iowa, and that this gives them a chance to be able to see through all of our museums here in the city what the rest of the world looks like.
What a beautiful answer.
Yes. Yes. And also, I just want to say, too, that I just really feel that this cultural excursion piece, along with holistic education, which includes parenting skills, adult basic education, looking at some of what our issues are. You know, you talk about why would an average citizen or person in this world want to invest money in an offender? You've already invested money in public education, and maybe they didn't take advantage of it. Maybe they were learning disabilities. Maybe they were issues that prevented them from being able to take advantage of it.
And by the way, we haven't touched that with that issue we talked before the program, the connection between substance abuse, the connection between not being properly parented and learning disabilities, which makes your job providing that eighth grade certificate, that reading certificate, that GED even more difficult.
Right. But it would make it difficult for any citizen in that particular situation.
Right, exactly.
But for the ex-offender, I want to say, you know, in our society, we're willing to reinvest in everything but another human being. We'll reinvest in our cars. We'll reinvest in our homes. We'll reinvest in our property. And we see it as a burden to be able to reinvest in a human being. But what a great investment. So we paid for public education. They didn't get everything they needed at that level. So now we're paying with federal dollars to ensure that they get what's needed at an adult level. But look at the adult literacy concept. What it does is helps us to do that double investment and then have that investment pay off in the life of that child. We don't want that child to go down the same path. We want that child to see their parent seeking to get a good education, to get skills, to get a career, to move to a better neighborhood, to buy that car that they've always envisioned. We want that child to see that parent being progressive so that that child will learn how to critically think and live in a progressive world.
And the bottom line that I like is, once again, it is a family endeavor.
Yes.
Because we always talk about the offenders, but those offenders, 9 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10 are connected to kids.
That's right.
That they are legally, ethically, morally responsible for. Mm-hmm. So by helping him or helping her, you in many cases help 2 or 3 kids along the way.
That's
as well.
Right. That's
so
right.
A rising tide lifts all boats. If he does well, if she does well, then they can take care of their kids. Then it solves a broader problem, solves a broader issue.
Well, my vision is out of this parenting class and this adult learning center that we might need to see the new or the next future president. And so we may be grooming the next president for the United States of America without realizing that. We may be grooming the next ambassador. We may be grooming the next head of the UN. So we want to be able to give that child everything that we can give them. And if it means giving the parent the kind of tools that they need to be the most effective parent, to be the most effective provider.
Because we teach them that.
That's right.
We never got onto that, I think, throughout the entire program, and we're running out of time. We do parenting skills. We teach them how to be a better parent.
Excellent parenting skills. And I'd like to turn to Bonnie Andrews so she could talk a little bit about her therapeutic approach.
Well, Bonnie's going to have to address
Len's
it
looking at his watch.
In about a minute or so because we are running out of time. Bonnie, parenting skills.
We, for the most part, we use realistic therapy.
Reality therapy.
Okay. We gauge that a person where they are. We encourage the offender to bring their children with them so that we can see how they interact with their children and address their parenting skills, not necessarily about how to be a better parent, but to teach better parenting skills.
To teach what they may not have gotten at home.
Exactly.
Okay.
It wasn't at home to break that cycle. It wasn't at home because it wasn't there to be gotten for whatever reason they had a missing parent.
That's my point. Anything else?
Oh, goodness. It's a lot.
We'll save that for another, because I do want to have you, Bonnie, back for a specific program on the victim services part here at CSOSA. But I think, Christine, do you think that does it? Latresa, do you think that does it? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap up. This is DC Public Safety. Our guests today have been Christine Keels, the Executive Assistant for the Vocational Opportunities, Education, and Employment Program, Latresa Early, who is a Learning Lab Specialist, and Bonnie Andrews, Victim Services Program Manager. I'm Len Sipes. I'm the Senior Public Affairs Specialist. Look at our website, if you would please, www.csosa.gov for all of the radio and television shows that we do, and for additional information about the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, please have yourself a pleasant day.